and Gary called me about a year and a half ago to speak, and then he called me again. And I'm like, a year and a half, what am I supposed to think of waiting a year and a half? Either it was so good he felt intimidated, or it was a really hot mic. Or it just, life happens, and he didn't want to take time off. So I am here to speak with you today about the Trinity. And yesterday, or I guess last week, Gary talked to you guys about the Holy Spirit. So we're kind of going out of order. Today I'm talking about the Father. And so we all can relate to that because, well, I'm thinking 100% of us in here have a Father. So that's a good thing, good starting point. And so I've kind of titled this message, Who's Your Daddy? Thank you. I got at least one laugh from a few of you guys. Life is good. And let me pray and then we'll get going here. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you for today. And Lord, I just pray that you you speak through this message. And I pray that you open up hearts and minds right now to deal with you, Lord, and to deal with kind of a tough subject for some people in here. And so thank you for this time, for what you're about to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so like any good teacher, where do I go? Students, where do you guys go to start your research? Wikipedia, good. There's no hesitation. Where do teachers go? Google Images. Because we don't like reading, we read enough, so we go to pretty little pictures. So when I typed in, I was thinking of, like some of you guys, we carry baggage. We say dad, and you're like, oh, my dad. And so I typed in bad dad, and this is like the first image I came to. And some of you are laughing. You're like, that's my, oh, wait, maybe it's not me. Oh, wait, I don't know. Because I mean, what's wrong with this picture up here? Dang it, some of you guys beat my punchline. You're supposed to say it's the beer. But the truth is, like, don't we all have a baby picture of, like, some uncle or dad, like, look, they're drinking, they like it, it's so cute, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you're right. What's wrong about this is the mullet. Of teaching your kid to wear a mullet at that age, that's bad. That's bad parenting. Go to the next one here. This is another one that popped up. I like this. What? It was a gift from Luke. World's worst dad. My son's name is Luke. I think we went through a streak of like 5 or 6 weeks every day checking in at Kids Kingdom. And they're like, Luke, he's your father. And Luke's like, really? And he's, you know, this tall, like, yeah, I get it. Darth Vader, thanks, Dad. Like, thanks for naming me after that. And then I typed in, good dad. And this is what came up. Oh, isn't that nice? And some of you guys, you've babysat or someone. Have you ever held, like, a little kid's hand? And it's like, you just hold out, like, a finger, and their whole hand's, like, around it. Or maybe two fingers. Like, I look at them like, ah, yeah, that's what being a dad is about. And then go to the next one there. Oh, no, that's not the next one. Super, yeah, there we are. How cool is that? I missed that opportunity. My kids are 8 and 10 now. And you look at that, that's a dad and son with superhero capes at Home Depot. How cool is that? Like, as a guy, I'm like, Home Depot's cool enough. Like, but I think my 10-year-old would not go for wearing a superhero cape, especially what's F mean? I don't know. But anybody know that superhero? Fun boy? Or I don't know. Anyhow. But the truth of the matter is we all have a real story with parents. And so God uses this illustration throughout the Bible as God as Father. And some of you guys, you carry with your idea of dad baggage. With some of you, you carry some great assets. So here's my story. Let's go to the first picture here. That's my dad, Bruce. That's me coming home from the hospital. And I know the mustache and the big, huge tie there. It's a little creepy now that I look back, but I think I turned out okay. Go to the next one here, and you can see more of my dad. I think that's at Christmas time. And so the mustache, I think, is trimmed down a little bit. It's finally gone now, but that's me about a year old. And then let's go to the next one. And that's my dad, I think about 2005 when I graduated with my master's degree. And so I'm the tallest in my family, if you believe that, at 5'8". My dad, I think at one point in time was 5'4". Lately, it seems to be going down. But my dad carries with him, when I say dad, I think of some positive things. Like my dad, he taught me to go out in the garage and work on the cars. He taught me to woodwork. And I remember we had a house with like the dark, dark molding like from the 70s. And he one day he's like, you know what? Let's make this lighter. And he shows me how to pop them off, shows me how to use the miter saw, how to sand down new ones, how to stain them, how to finish them. And before long, I'm doing it. And I was probably maybe middle school, grade school at the time. My dad carries some connotations, though, that aren't so positive. My dad didn't say sorry. My dad sometimes, he doesn't lose fights with you. He wins. I think probably the strongest illustration for me of like baggage I carry with my dad is when I was 3 and my sister Jess was 1, my dad said to my mom, I don't love you. And I know some of you guys are like, oh. And he said, I'm leaving. And I think what the interesting aspect is that is my dad was the professing Christian. He's like, we're going to church. God is good. And my mom came from a family like, I'm not so sure about that. And so my mom, still to this day, when she says, hears the word Christian, she thinks of my dad who said, I love you. And then like, just kidding, I'm out of here. And so let me throw up another picture of what dad means to me. And this is my stepdad. Isn't that a great family photo? A few of you guys saw that when you came in. I saw one kid, like, look at that, turn around and leave. I haven't seen that kid again. Like, this was up on, they're like, can you pick out me? And then, like, Rachel, you're here. That's totally your face down there. That is totally your face. Sit down. No. And so that's my mom, and my sister Jess is on my stepdad's lap, and that's my stepdad, Ed. And they got married when I was about 4, and he had 2 kids, Elliot and Jocelyn, who are my step-siblings. But from an early age, they're family. Those are my siblings. And it was pretty cool. Jocelyn's the same age as me, and she went to the rival high school, and she was a cheerleader, which is cool because she would have friends who came spend the night. I'm like, how are you doing? You know, like, because I'm a high schooler, and that's what you say? I don't know. Anyhow, all my friends were like, well, dude, you could, like, marry your sister. I'm like, no, I can't. Then they're like, well, I could. I'm like, no, that's even worse. Like, anyhow, so go the next one. And there's my stepdad, Ed, coaching me in T-ball. Because when I look at, he has the belt on, and they're like, those are short. Yeah. And look at me. Yeah, I mean, I have my shirt tucked in, and this good 80s photos here. And this is some of the memories I have of my stepdad. Like, he coached me. Because my dad, what I didn't say was, he always worked. And so that molding job I was talking about, I ended up doing most of it when I was like in middle school because my dad was working. But Ed coached me. My love of sports comes from my stepdad, not from my dad. And so go the next photo there. And he even loved me when I went to college and thought poofy hair was cool. So yeah, that's pretty good. That's a PLU there, the first amount of debt I owed them for undergrad. And so I have some great thoughts and memories and assets given to me by my stepdad as well. Just kind. Just someone who took me in and treated me fully like a son, even though I was maybe not a blood relative. I still call him dad because I grew up with him. But you know what? I carry some baggage from him too. Because his first marriage ended because he was devout. I go to church. I grew up in the church. I go to church with my wife. But then at church, his wife started cheating on him with another man from the church. And so for him, the concept of church still today is, no, that's not for me. And so I kind of now in hindsight go, huh, I see why my mom and stepdad got together, because they had that common bond and so on. So I think we all carry with us those ideas of dad. And some of you guys, another 10, 15 years, I don't know, you're going to get that chance to be a parent, hopefully. And you get that chance to stand up and go, I'm not doing it this way. And so let me show you a couple pictures of my two kids. Here's Luke. Luke's now 10, so that's a long time ago. And that's Rachel back when she was just tiny. And you get these ages when you're on the ground just like, yeah, just wrestling with them. Not wrestling, wrestling. That's just a little Arkansas there for you. Here's another picture. Here's a few years ago down Mount Lassen. And you go, wow, like going and exploring with your kids. Like trying to invest in them. And then go the last one here. This one snuck. This one was last summer. Both of them made it to the summit of Mount St. Helens with me. And so it was one of those, we trained for it. We went out running. And it's one of those where I look back and I go, you know what? Truth of the matter is, I think I am a good dad, but I'm still passing along baggage. As much as I would love it to be 100% assets, I can't. I mess it up on almost a daily basis. I think if you were to ask my kids, I hope they say, yeah, my dad pushes me. My dad believes in me. My dad loves me. I mean, heck, I took Rachel and I, we went on a daddy-daughter date last night. We went to Italian meal, and then we went to PLU to hear a choir concert. And so I hope they remember some of that. But I know if you ask Rachel, she'll say, yeah, there's times when my dad's not patient. There's times when my dad maybe expects too much of me. He pushes me too hard. And so, boy, as much as I went into parenting going, I'm not making some of those same mistakes, I've made different ones. Here's what I'd like you to do. On your piece of paper there, it's a lot of fill in the blank. It's pretty much all blank. Here's what I'd like you to do right now. I'd like you to interact with this. I'd like you to write down, when I say the word dad, what comes to mind? Is it woodworking? Is it lawn mowing? Is it a hug? Is it the, man, he says I love you every single day. Is it like me? He left. Take a minute. And I know for some of you guys, your smiles, you're just beaming. I got a great dad. And some of you guys, you're avoiding eye contact right now going, tough message. Take a minute. I think sometimes people get up here and they start speaking and it's like a one-way street. I appreciate the couple times of laughter, mostly at like my picture, but that's all right. I'm good with that. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor, a couple neighbors around you. I'd like you to tell them a couple of the things that came to mind. And maybe it's more baggage. Maybe it's more assets. You determine of what it is. Turn to a neighbor real quickly. Take about 30 seconds. Turn to him and tell him, what made your list of what dad means to you? All right, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, a little participation there. I'm just curious. How many of you guys, when you looked at your list, I know I didn't give you a lot of time. This might be something that you take home. You kind of keep pondering this a little bit more. How many of you guys had more assets, good things on your list? How many of you guys were pretty much neutral? Like it was about equal of each. How many people have more baggage? So we have a pretty fair mix in here. We have people, when I say dad, and God in the Bible says, I'm your dad. And you're kind of like, wow, that's awesome. I don't know. Some of you guys are like, yeah, God, that's cool because I have a good dad. And then some of you are like, God, that's a bad reference because I don't want another dad. And so God says in his word that he's not like our earthly fathers. And maybe he is a little bit because your earthly father's done some really cool things. But you know what? Our earthly dads will never compare to our heavenly father. And so right now, I want to give you three big gifts that God gives us all. Three big gifts. So I'm going to have you write these down. The first one is light. He gives us a light within our lives that's unending. See, we are all born as creations of God. And I apologize for whatever reason, computer transferring of everything. I wanted the scripture to pop up here. It's not. I'm going to throw out the references. Maybe you write them down. Maybe you look them up later. But I'm going to try and push through these a little bit. I wish they were up there, that you could see the words and not just hear them. But right now, let me look at Genesis real quickly. And it says here, God spoke. This is Genesis 1, 26. I'm using the Message, which I thought would be cool. So, anyhow. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our own image. Make them reflecting our nature." God created us. And you think about the heavens, you think about the stars, and the past couple nights you can look up in the stars because it's so cold. But it's amazing to think that God made you, and you, and you, and there has never on this earth been anyone like you. And there never will be. And let me take a sidestep right now. Like, I get passionate about this. I speak to high schoolers about this. Like, He made you intentionally as a beautiful creature. And I think sometimes the teenage years, you just get locked in this mindset of, my hair is beautiful. My eyes are... No, no, no. You are beautiful. And I don't, I'm not. The other people. No, you are. Because you are made by God, and we are made in His image. And so, when we are born once, we are a creation of God. But the Bible says when we are born again, you've heard that term before, born again, we become a child of God. So think about this, of all the things you've ever created from the arts and crafts projects, right? That you took home to parents like at Christmas time, you're like, look, it's my hand, yay. You have one of those, don't you? We all have one of those. To maybe, you know, you're an adult now and you have home improvement projects like, look at what I created. There is nothing you create or ever will create that matches up to a kid. Now, that almost makes me like misty eye right there. Like, that's my daughter. She's amazing. There is no other creation for that. When you are born again, oh man, you are a child of God. And a child of God, write this verse down. John 3:16. I'm glad I had some post-it notes here. Sorry, not John 3:16. John 3, 1 through 6. Can't read my own notes, get all emotional here. Let me read this to you. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. Late one night, he visited Jesus and said, "Rabbi," meaning teacher, "we all know you're a good teacher, straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it." Jesus said, "You're absolutely right." I like the Message. It's like, yeah, you're absolutely right. "Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." "How can anyone," said Nicodemus, "be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb." I always thought that got a little creepy. You're like, way to be, Nicodemus. Be born, someone already been born and grown up. "What are you saying with this born from above talk?" Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving, the visible, a baptism into new life, it is not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit." When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, you are a child of God. And it just comes out from within you. God gives us this light that is unending and is unlike anything else. Our earthly fathers can't give us that. And so, a light that is unending. I like how Romans says it. And let me, this is a quick one here. Let me see if I can find it. I quickly try to do this. Romans, you can write down 8:15. 8:15 says this, "The resurrection life you receive from is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant. Greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa?" See, God doesn't say, "Heavenly Father." No, He says, "Call me Abba." Abba means daddy. It's like, man, I love you. Do you get that? He says to call us daddy. And some of you go like, dad. I know, we're working through that. And so, second thing I want you to write down that God gives us. And remember, like I said, our earthly fathers, they give us assets. They sometimes give us baggage. God doesn't give us baggage. Baggage happens, but it doesn't come from God. Number two is that he gives us strength that is unlimited. Strength that's unlimited. Ephesians 3, 14 through 16 says this. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. You think about all the junk of life. Yeah, great, God, you're working in me. There's a light in me. But there's still a lot of junk. And God says, I've got something else for you. I've got strength. Strength like you don't even understand. How's that work? And I look back at my life, and there are things that I humanly cannot fathom getting through. I can't. And you think about that with you. And I think back to that picture on the beach with the son and the dad just holding hands. You guys have heard like the walking along the beach with God, the footsteps. Hey, God, I'm walking along the beach and I look back over my life of walking with you. I notice in the sand that sometimes there's only one set of footprints. God, why during the tough times did you leave me? God says, no, I didn't leave you. I picked you up. I held you because I give you strength. When you are a child of God, man, you get strength to go through those tough times. And so there's another verse I want to share with you when we talk about strength. That's 2 Corinthians. Again, I wish these had popped up on the screen, but that's all right. 2 Corinthians. And this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And he's talking about some of the struggles he's had. Paul, one of these great Christian leaders, going, dude, life's tough. He kind of makes this reference to a thorn in his side. And he says this, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. And Paul says, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving on my weakness. Now I take my limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, oppositions, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. If you ask Christ into your heart, man, one of the gifts he gives you is strength. Maybe you don't realize that you have it right now. Maybe it's something that you need right now. So he gives us light, he gives us strength, and folks, probably the biggest one, he gives us unconditional love, without condition. I think in our society we have a lot of if, then. If you're good, Santa will come. If you're bad, you get a lump of coal. We have a lot of if, then. And it's not an if, then with God. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And you. And you. And that's pretty amazing when you think about it. The God of all creation loves us individually and loves us unconditionally. So you think about all the bad things. Oh, he probably doesn't love me because I cheated, I gossiped, I smoked, I drank, I had sex. Nah. God loves you unconditionally. Here's a verse for you. Romans 8, 38, 39. And says this. I don't know if I can find it. I have it here. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. So whatever you've done, God's love's still there. I think of adoption. My sister adopted. They went across the world to Ethiopia. And they picked out a son, and they loved him before they knew him. Unconditionally. There was nothing Isaiah had to do to be loved by my sister and my brother-in-law, and by his brothers. Because they chose to. Unconditionally. How many of you in here, just say, show of hands, have been adopted? Either you're not wearing deodorant, or not enough, or you're in complete denial. The answer is we have all been adopted. Unless you're like fully Jewish. Because if you're not fully Jewish, you're what the Bible refers to as a Gentile, a non-Jew. And God originally made this promise with the Jews, you're my people. And they said, you know what, I'm blowing this out of the water. You're all my people. You're a Gentile. Come on in here. Let's do this. We're all adopted. God chose us, not because we were worth choosing. Do you get that? It took me a long time in life. It was like, I think it was my wife taught me that, but whatever. Like, when you get married, you learn a lot of things really quickly. That it's fun. But it taught me, no, I need a Savior. I have nothing good to bring. No, but look at my resume. I grew up thinking I was good. There's nothing. There is nothing that I have to offer God that's so good that He would go, I want you. He wants us because He loves us. And so, I want to wrap up with John 4:10 says this. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not the ones upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Next week, you get more into the third aspect of the Trinity of Jesus, the Son. And it's hard to picture like three and one and all of this and that. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit loves us unconditionally. So look at your list right there. What are we given by our Heavenly Father? We're given light. Light that doesn't end. When we go, I'm a creation, but no. God, I want to be a child of God. We have strength for those good times, those bad times, going half mad times. And then we have, number three, we have love that's unconditional. And so, I want you to look back at kind of that list of earthly father. And I know sometimes we as dads, we've messed it up for you. We have. But I want you to look at, more importantly, that list from our Heavenly Father. What does God, our Heavenly Father, give us? And so, with the baggage, I pray that you work through it. You talk to people about it. Or you say, man, my view of God is a little bit different. And I hope, and I implore you, I said this earlier, the junk of life, that baggage we have, it's not from God. God looks at that and goes, let me help you clean that up. Let me help you clean that up. So right now, let's pray and wrap this up. Lord Jesus, prayer today is that we just all come to embrace You, our Heavenly Father, and fully accept these gifts that You've given of light, of strength, and of unconditional love. And may we all in here as fathers, as sons, as daughters, as mothers, may we all grow in our relationships with each other. Help us, Lord, to reflect who You truly are. Because, Lord, we don't need more people being messed up and having wrong images of You. And so help us to be a greater illustration this week of who You are and what You want. And, Lord, I thank You for this time. I pray that these words, that they sink into us, help our lives to be different. because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to wrap up by showing you guys a testimony. And I think it kind of dovetails nicely to what we were just talking about.